Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by another fellow podcaster. He's the founder at Kula. He's the host of the Kula Ring Podcast. Please welcome Jeff White to the show.
Thanks very much for having me, Colin. Glad to be here.
Yeah, good to have you on the show. This is a bit of a left turn for the podcast. We're going to get a little bit meta, but I like it because we're talking podcasting and we're talking prospecting and kind of the melding of the two worlds. Mm-hmm. That was the really interesting thing that, you know, we were talking about a bunch of different subjects for the show here, but using content to like a content driven approach to start conversations is something that I've seen on marketing teams, but haven't seen too much in the sales world. So tell me about like, how did you get in? How did you figure out that, hey, this is something that actually works?
Sure. So I think there's kind of two components to it. And one is, you know, how Kula as a, you know, a digital agency uses content to prospect and sell. And then there's also how we help our clients sell. So Kula works primarily with mid-market manufacturers in North America that operate in a B2B selling environment. So, and we do marketing content and marketing execution, strategy, tactics, and all of that, as well as help them with ABM programs and sales and things like that. So some of what we do for ourselves applies to them, and some of what we've learned from our clients, we've kind of turned that into a bit of how we do it for ourselves. So, you know, we, as a result of working with these B2B clients, you know, we get their long and complex sales cycle where they're talking to, you know, 8+ people, and they go on for 18 to 24 months, you know, like you, but you know, the one thing that we know is that when we're creating content from a sales perspective is that, you know, it's it costs a lot of money to create content either for ourselves or for one of our clients. And so therefore it really needs to serve many masters. So, you know, that content has to have a purpose kind of beyond just being a white paper, a blog post, or a podcast on the site. You then kind of want to leverage that and turn it into other things. So, you know, for us and for our clients, that can include the white papers and podcasts, as we talked about, and also things like online and interactive calculator tools and stuff like that, that kind of play into different levels of the sales funnel for our customers. But I think the big thing and kind of the main reason why we've been using this as a prospecting tool is that it's getting really hard to cut through the noise. I mean, I don't know about you, but I get, you know, what, half a dozen connections a day, mm-hmm. either from LinkedIn, mostly being an agency, of course, I get every pseudo agency in India and other places trying to get them to do our WordPress sites for $5 an hour, things like that. So, you know, so they contact you through LinkedIn. They're contacting you through your contact form. They're sending direct emails, and they're always really, really direct. It's like, hi, we do this cheap. Can you give us some work? You know, and I think they're, when you kind of get those straight up sales requests, and what they kind of miss is that they're not trying to create any sort of relationship. They're just going straight to the bottom of the funnel. You know, they're asking for the sale right away. I don't know who the hell these people are. I don't trust them. I have no relationship with them. And I think it, especially in kind of a professional sales or professional services sale role, like we are as an agency, having a relationship with somebody before you kind of get to that discussion about their needs and their requirements from a sales perspective is really important. And there's a really great book called How Clients Buy. I don't know if you've seen it, by Tom Mackinnon and another guy, Doug something, but it escapes me right now. But, you know, one of their biggest tenets with this is that, you know, sales are, especially with credence goods like professional services, sales are based on trust. And trust requires a relationship, a referral, or a reputation. So they either have to know who you are, someone has to have told them who you are, or you have to kind of find a way to create that relationship and build on that before you just go in and say, hey, I'd like to sell you marketing services or sell you a widget if you're one of our manufacturing clients or whatever. But, you know, it's especially important when selling professional services.
Totally agree. I haven't read the book, but I picked up a couple copies for the office, and we'll be getting into it. I passed them out to our sales leader and our marketing leaders already. So
nice. Yeah. It's a great book, and it really kind of serves to highlight just how important that kind of relationship is. And I think they do a really good job of showing how that works all the way from, you know, one or two person, you know, web agencies right on up to Boston Consulting Group and McKinsey and Co, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of the, when we were talking about it, the Win Without Pitching manifesto in that book.
Yeah. I think they have a lot in common with Blair and, Blair's techniques for selling and kind of creating those relationships are very similar.
Cool. I'll throw a link to both the book and the Win Without Pitching. He wrote a bit of a manifesto. I think it's still on his site.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And it was basically don't just throw proposals around, especially if you're an agency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which at the time I was selling to agencies, and it was really, it gave me a really good insight into sort of what they were going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there's certainly a mindset within an agency. You know, I'm part of a agency CEO's group, and having been part of the HubSpot partner program for a long time, you get a lot of opportunities to kind of chat with other agency owners and understand what they're going through. And it's, you know, it's basically like group therapy most of the time, where you just you wouldn't believe what people are saying or the responses we got, but you really do begin to get a sense that we're all kind of trying to find our own way and trying to find our own method of kind of connecting with those prospects and customers.
Cool. Which is what led you to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the podcast for us has been I guess we've been at it for a little over a year now. So we're probably about 50 episodes in, I think, at this point. And, it's really been an excellent vehicle, both for us as a learning tool, for us to be able to learn from our guests and connect with them, but also for kind of creating the seeds of that relationship, really, in a non-sales environment and in a very non kind of committal way on the part of the prospect that we're talking to.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I've ran a podcast. We're a little bit farther in than you guys are, but you know, not so much. So, I don't know if we've done any business with podcast guests. I think we've had guests on that were customers, but I've never gone the other way. And when I was thinking about this model, one of the things I was thinking about is like, how do you go from, you know, the sort of podcast host guest relationship to, hey, now I'm going to sell you some stuff. Cause I feel like that's the dance that we need to do very delicately.
It is for sure. And I wish I could say that, you know, we've got hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue as a result of that thus far, but right now we're still kind of very much in the process and learning from it. But I think it's showing some very, very strong signs of promise. And we have a number of kind of deals that we are working on that are built 100% as a result of that outreach. So the way that we kind of go through this process, and we can get into the full depth of the steps and tactics that we take in a bit. But we really use the initial conversations to kind of learn about their business and learn, you know, our target client profile is, like I said, the mid-market manufacturers. But then within that, we're looking to talk to directors of marketing and marketing, you know, CMOs and people like that. Sometimes sales, sometimes the VPs of sales play into that as well, but mostly it's CMOs and directors of marketing that we're trying to talk to. And really, you know, those initial conversations are very, they're really chill, you know, like you're, and the way that we normally do them is we try and either do them in person by targeting a geographical area and trying to find a number of VPs of marketing and directors of marketing in a specific city and travel there and then meet with a bunch of them over the course of a couple of days, or we'll organize a bunch and do them via phone. And those initial conversations are just, you know, they have nothing to do with selling them anything. They're all about, you know, what's going on in your world? What are your challenges right now? What are you having trouble with? What's working really well? And I think that, you know, making sure that we have the right people in those conversations has been, probably one of the hardest parts of doing this. I mean, there's the, you know, you know, setting the line and getting the hook in and kind of getting somebody on board for the conversation, but making sure that that's the right person to have that conversation with and the right, you know, the right target client as well.
And so the people that you're having on the show and the people that you're selling to, are they the exact right persona for you?
In a lot of cases, yes. Yeah. So the vast majority of the guests on The Cooler Ring are directors of marketing at the manufacturing clients that we work for. So, you know, we get an opportunity to talk to them and form that kind of relationship with them while also, you know, really getting deep on what the big issues are that they're facing or the big successes that they've had. We've had some really long-standing manufacturers on the podcast that, like Klein Tools in Chicago, for example. I mean, 170-odd-year-old company, definitely older than 100 years anyway. Wow. And I mean, they have a 25-person marketing team with an in-house video studio and all of this other stuff. And I mean, they're a huge organization, and maybe they can't use our help, but we can learn an awful lot from how they do things as a manufacturer and kind of use that as a model to inform our other conversations with other customers and other prospects. So it's a, you know, whether you're kind of talking to the ones who need everything or the ones who have already really striping it, you know, it's still a great way for us to learn and kind of begin to pattern match across all of those different manufacturers in our vertical.
I totally agree. I feel like one of the best parts of this podcast, you know, aside from the content, we do a lot to repackage it and make sure that the content's getting seen and consumed out there. Mm-hmm. But I think one of my favorite parts is it's leveled me up tremendously.
Yeah. No question.
And we're, you know, 100 and something episodes deep, and that's 100, you know, sales leaders and salespeople that I've talked to and had them educate me. Mm-hmm. That's like 100 hours of school, well, plus the pre-interviews, which are, you know, half an hour. So,
yep.
You know, 150 hours of content that, you know, you wouldn't have otherwise put yourself through. And so it's not just about creating the connections. I imagine there's quite a bit of learning in there for yourselves.
No question. Yeah, no question. And I mean, some of the guests that we have are not necessarily the prospects, but they're peripherally related. I mean, we had an intellectual property lawyer who works specifically with manufacturers around ensuring that their products aren't sold on the black market or ripped off and kind of sold via Amazon when they're not supposed to be. So just some really interesting learnings about the kinds of things that that manufacturers often go through that you wouldn't even necessarily think of unless you had an opportunity to talk to a guy like that.
Mm-hmm. So it helps sort of develop your understanding of the industry as a company, right?
Exactly.
You're getting a deeper look into, and so then you can use that to sort of inform your sales conversations, whether they are with, you know, the podcast guests or not. It's still
precisely
making it harder as an organization.
Yep. Yep. For sure.
So I think we covered the pivot really, you know, so we talked about you're getting generally it's the people that you want to talk to. You interview them first, pre-interview, mm-hmm. interview, then what happens next? You've done the interview, they're like, okay, thanks so much. Goodbye.
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things that we do as we're coming out of an episode is, you know, we turn the transcript over to our director of sales who combs through and listens to the episode, looks at the transcript and looks for additional opportunities that maybe we didn't, you know, hear while we're conducting the call because we're thinking about how to carry on a good conversation, not necessarily at that time, you know, well, how am I going to turn this into a sale? You know, there has to be some purity to it. You know, you can't just be so obviously so blatant about trying to turn that into a sales conversation.
I just want to pause you for a sec and just tell you, you need to buy some sales development people from us.
Fair enough. But our director of sales, so he'll go through and what he does is he looks for the needs, he looks for the things that are potential triggers and things that he can work with. And then he will actually reach out to that person a little while after the episode is live. And kind of say, hi, I'm so-and-so. I work with Carmen and Jeff, we're the host of the podcast. Really enjoyed your episode. Saw this, thought it was pretty interesting. Would you be open to having a conversation about how we might be able to help you with that? Because that's at that point, you know, they've been talking to us three, four, maybe five times. I mean, there's the initial conversation when you get them on the phone or the email back and forth when you're doing the prospecting. Mm-hmm. There's the half hour sit down or phone call where you're kind of going through to see if they're actually a decent guest. And then there's the recording of the episode itself. So, you know, you're three episodes deep before you, or three conversations deep before you ever kind of try and pivot that conversation to something more sales related. And I think there's a lot of magic in that fourth conversation. Because it's almost like old home week, you know, you get in there and it's like, oh, hey, you know, how's it going? How are the kids? You know, like, totally. And you already have that familiarity. And like Tom says in How Clients Buy, you know, now you have a relationship. Now you have, you know, they've, at that point, they've heard the episode, they've shared it with their network, you know, their company has probably shared it to their entire network. They've gotten feedback on it. People are telling them they sounded great, you know, all of that. So it's just a real kind of pump up of the ego. And then when you go in and say, look, you know, I really think that, you know, for us, it'd be like, and I really think that you're, you know, the way that you guys are have structured your site currently, you know, I think that we might be able to help with that. Or, you know, I think we may be able to help with your marketing strategy or assist you with paid, or whatever that happens to be. And then they're kind of, yeah, no, I would be open to that. And, you know, they've heard us talk and realize that we're more than just a hat rack and, you know, can kind of get into it. And there's some trust and synergy there. So I think that really works. And, you know, and it doesn't always work. And we had one of our early guests on the podcast just like, I don't accept sales calls in this manner. It's like, oh okay.
Like, but, post podcast?
Yeah, it was just really weird, you know. But I think for the most part, people are really, you know, really kind of okay with it. And they don't mind. They enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a special, it's an accelerated relationship builder, right?
Like, exactly.
I think we will at the end of this, like, let's say we record for an hour and we did a half an hour pre-interview. I'll have known you for 90 minutes total. Mm-hmm. And same with most of the guests. And I feel like anytime I'm in town, they're like, anytime I travel, I'm like, okay, let me see what guests are in town. And cause you just want to, like, you feel like you got this, like, you know, budding friendship with somebody.
Exactly. Yep.
That you're basically exploiting to
perhaps, but I mean, it's altruistic, you know, it's all about for the greater good.
Right? Totally. And yep. I love that. It's the content first. And there's that sort of separation between, hey, this is about good content. And then if our director of sales happens to see or hear something like an opportunity, cool. Let's jump on it.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. So, and if there isn't anything, there isn't anything, but you still have a relationship there. And, you know, I think one of the things that we have seen is that people do kind of come back later. You know, some people, like, you know, people we might've had on the podcast last August, you know, we see them at a conference in January, or, you know, you travel somewhere and you know, have an opportunity to have lunch with them or whatever. And it's just all about deepening those relationships. I mean, in that B2B type of sale, you know, I can't remember the last time a sale took less than 6 months, and most of them probably take more than a year. So, you know, each time you're just kind of re-upping, getting to know them, you know, one of the things that we're also always doing too, is that, you know, we're not just promoting the episode that we released this week. We're promoting the episode we released 6 months ago too. So they're kind of, oh, look, that was fun. I enjoyed that. You know, it pops up in their feed again, or you go and like their, when they save it, when they share it, or whatever that happens to be. So it just creates lots of opportunities for touches that without having that content, there's absolutely no way you could have done that.
For sure. It's helped us build partnerships with other companies that we'll do like joint webinars with now.
Oh, cool.
We got one, we had Toucan on the site from LeadSift last year.
Oh yeah.
Last year. And I think he's in.
He is. Yeah. No, I've met him a number of times.
So I was chatting to him end of day yesterday. It must've been like 9 PM his time. And, we had him on the show and now they're coming back. We're going to do a webinar together. I think we'll probably put that on the podcast because it's all about intent data. It's going to be a really interesting one. And
oh, very cool.
We're gonna moderate that. And he's bringing in somebody else that he knows in the intent data space. So like, I'm going to learn, it's going to be good content for the audience. And we're all three of us are going to combine our marketing networks and yeah. Try as many people to this webinar as we can. And so it's that sort of virtuous cycle.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
Very cool.
So when you get so I think I understand the turn now. It's really content first, and then you have your director of sales sort of following up. And I like that you have a director of sales. It's somebody a little bit senior, maybe on this sort of similar level as the people they're reaching out to. And it's not just like an account exec.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And at Kula, we don't have account execs. It's not really our style of running the agency. So it works perfectly to have the director of sales handle that. And in some cases, the relationship. If I had a really great meeting with somebody as kind of the kickoff, and I feel like there's a really deep connection there, I have no problem kind of being the one to try and approach the pivot. Hmm. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily follow an exact process. It's all about what is the relationship with that single person or company or what have you.
Gotcha. You're making me think of like all the guests. I'm like, should I have?
Did I forget to reach out and see if there was an opportunity there?
100%. I definitely haven't done it. I've definitely got feedback from guests on things that we're working on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think our context is a little bit different.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what this looks like. So it's all great to say, okay, I can identify some prospects. I can figure out who the people that I want to come on the show. I understand how to convert them. But what is what are the key pieces here that you're producing? Like, what does that content look like?
Sure. So, you know, we do this in a number of different ways. The podcast is the main vehicle. We also use collaborative blog posts, although not as much perhaps as we used to, because I think the podcast, we just find we can do more of them and they're more valuable and create a deeper connection with people. But we will do collaborative blog posts and blog posts where we highlight the work of others and kind of talk about how they're doing something and kind of identify that and then tag them in that. We can talk a little bit more about that in a moment. The other tactic that we use is something called an executive roundtable. And this is actually one of the things that the authors of How Clients Buy, this is what they do. I mean, they do collaborative roundtables of like-minded people from the same kinds of organizations. And so we use that as well to kind of bring together larger groups of people, you know, 5 or 6 people at a time, and do a closed private discussion where we cover a number of different topics with them. So I'll come back to that one in a moment. But for the podcast, I mean, there's a couple different pieces. I mean, obviously, you've got the prospect and target account list building where you're trying to find the right people in the right place that are at the right kinds of companies that could potentially use your services. I mean, that's just sales 101, really. You know, and then you've got to have all the kind of technology and understanding of the you know, how to do a podcast, I guess, which it still surprises me just how difficult it can be to do good quality multi-ended audio, you know, and all of that. I mean, there are good tools now with Zencastr and Zoom and things like that, but man, it's still, when we started a year ago, I can't get over the difference in the quality of and stability of tools like Zencastr for doing multi-ended audio and to get the best possible sound. But, you know, and then really for us, the way that we do this is kind of through a bit of a traditional sales outreach cycle that combines LinkedIn, phone, and email. And that usually starts off, we start with an introductory email, and it's really, for me personally, because I'm kind of folksy is the wrong word, but you kind of get where I'm coming from when I say that. You know, I grew up in the country, and it's just so I'm like, hey, you know, I'm, and especially if I'm contacting someone in Atlanta, and you know, hey, hello from Halifax, Nova Scotia. You know, saw that you're the director of marketing at so-and-so company, and I really love to have you as a guest on my podcast. I think you're doing some very interesting things at X, and you know, I'd love to have a quick chat with you and see if you're interested in having a conversation, and then we'll look to see if we can book a podcast after that. So, you know, never kind of go into it with you know, can I have you on the podcast right away? It's always about teeing up that initial conversation to see if there's a match. So it's a little bit even you know, you're not asking them to immediately jump on a recorded call that will become the podcast. So try and make that really clear. That's one of the early objections that we've learned how to deal with is stage fright. Like there's an awful lot of people that just like, I don't like public speaking. I don't want to be on a podcast. I don't think I could do it. I hate the sound of my own voice, whatever that happens to be, you know? and I don't know. I still do. But, you know, I think we've kind of tried to head that one off at the pass with some different ways of kind of talking about it. And then, you know, we'll follow that up with a cadence of phone call and email. And then in the middle there, we'll connect on LinkedIn with a similar kind of request. That's just about having them on the podcast. It's not about, any sort of sales outreach or anything like that. And usually that process is about 3 to 4 weeks. And if we're doing it geographically, because we're going to be going to a specific city, we'll try and start that about a month to 5 weeks before we're planning the trip. So and you know, start from a list of about 30 or 40 people and usually line up 5 or 6 conversations. And usually most of those turn into actual recorded podcasts. So, and the other thing too, some of the other objections that we'll get, you know, sort of revolve around, you know, I'm not allowed to talk about the business in that way outside of, you know, and have it published. You know, maybe they're in defense or something like that, or contract manufacturing. So we've kind of tightened our target client profile to ensure that we're not really asking those folks, because the answer more often than not tends to be no. The other thing too is that we'll get people who think that it's really about showcasing their business or the business, but in reality, we're looking to showcase them. And I think that's really at the heart of why this works, because it's a bit of an ego stroke. It's like, hey, I think you're pretty cool. I would like to talk to you and get you to tell your story on our show. And that just resonates with people. And it's just very different from a traditional form of outreach.
The interesting thing you said there that I want to highlight, you email about 30 or 40 people, mm-hmm. and you get how many people turn into a podcast?
Usually 5 or 6.
That's great response rates, man.
It is. It's unlike anything else I've ever tried. So it's, and I think it is at the end of the day, it's because of what the ask is. So it's about lifting them up and showcasing their expertise as a marketer, as opposed to, hey man, your website sucks. Can we redo it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. And so, yeah, I mean, man, like those are amazing response rates. Why aren't you doing 1,000 of these a day?
Purely time. And that's really, so there's 3 of us on our sales team, and, we kind of carve off about that many each a month. And that seems to be a good way and a good cadence of getting into those conversations. So if we can, you know, if we can line up, you know, 10 to 15 podcast recordings from that outreach every month, then I think we're in a pretty good place. And, you know, then you've created those relationships. And even if they, you know, even if you go through the initial conversation and no podcast gets recorded, whether, you know, legal puts the kibosh on it or what have you, it's still good to connect with people in our target client space.
Yeah. And I buried the lead a little bit here, but this is exactly why I wanted to get you on the show is, you know, sales development teams struggle. Like their goal is to open conversations. I don't know too many teams that are successful at sending 30 or 40 emails and getting, or, you know, reaching out to 30 or 40 contacts and booking 6 strong meetings out of it.
Like yeah.
Those are amazing numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that really is probably should have highlighted that earlier, but that really is kind of what we've seen. Cause we've tried pure sales-based outreach before. And it doesn't have anywhere near the same level of impact.
For sure. And so results, you're each rep on your team. So there's 3 of you, each of you are reaching out to 30 or 40, you're booking sort of 5 to 6 meetings from each, or 5 to 6 episodes from those. Mm-hmm. So that's 15 new contacts a month, or 15 new conversations a month. And then you're basically if you're the one that recorded, you're generally not reaching out. You're reaching out to somebody else's.
Right. Yeah. And it's been both ways. We've had our director of marketing doing outreach for the podcast, myself, my partner and co-founder, who was the co-host on the Coolering, and our director of business development. We all kind of take a slightly different tack to it as well. You know, if it's the host reaching out, it's a little more kind of one-to-one. Mm-hmm. If it's the director of marketing, it's like, you know, it might be a little bit more of kind of a sideways in, you know, it's like, we think the company is really interesting, and we'll kind of come at it from that perspective.
Yeah. Who in the company could we get to come and do this? And
yeah.
You, oh, wow. Surprise.
That's so weird. Yeah. So that's been pretty cool. And then, you know, usually, I don't know what your kind of cadence is in terms of recording and time to live, but we're usually about like 4 to 6 or 8 weeks before an episode goes live after we record it. And it will, depending on what the conversation was like and how immediate the opportunity seems, we'll either wait till it goes live, or if there's something that's really obvious that just either has a time limited capacity or something like that, we'll reach out with the pivot, either after it goes live or sometimes slightly before. I had one great episode, with a prospect that, again, was kind of a geographic outreach, got in touch with her, loved the idea, went up and met with her, sat down, had a great conversation for like an hour and a half, like, you know, kind of just about all the, you know, one person marketing department in a very large manufacturer, and, you know, learned all about all the things that she was doing right, but also all the things that she was struggling with. And, you know, that turned into a very good opportunity, and she's very game to kind of work with us at this point. We're just looking for the, you know, basically for the calendar year to roll over, because they just bought a bunch of machinery instead of doing marketing. So this is the biggest problem of working with manufacturers, is they would rather spend money on factory improvements than on marketing and sales.
Yeah, I get that. I was on a call. I was helping out this local business group that a bunch of entrepreneurs together. I was talking to them yesterday, and they're like, yeah, we were thinking about doing this year. But then I realized I need to buy another helicopter engine, and that's going to be 550 grand.
So. Hard to compete against the helicopter. I mean, let's be honest.
For sure. My, you know, being a proper Canadian, with, you know, a little, you know, some knowledge about sales, my instant reaction was, well, you know, I hear you do heli skiing, so I could do all this for free if you take me heli skiing. Yeah,
exactly.
I will do anything for some free heli skiing.
I'm with you there. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Right on. And so the podcast, basically that's the majority of the content. Sometimes you'll do like joint blog posts.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And I think the blog post thing is interesting. And I mean, this is, in a way, this has been done to death. Just kind of compiling a bunch of thought leaders and kind of using their quotes and linking back to them, you know, as a way of kind of reaching out to them. And I can't remember the name of the guy who started the idea of the skyscraper blog post, where you, what was his name? Oh, that's horrible. But basically the whole premise is that you create content that highlights leaders that you would like to speak to and the things that they have said as part of that, and use those to kind of help prove your point through the post or the content. And then you can notify them like, hey, I thought you said something really awesome there. I referenced it here in this blog post. Love it if you shared a link, you know. Okay. And really it's that, you know, the creation of the content, while expensive, is nowhere near as intensive as the sharing and the, you know, the promoting of that content. You know, once it's written, you've only done about 20% of the job. You know, now you have to leverage that into other things and get people to begin to kind of provide their spread as well. Yeah.
I found the link. Is it Brian Dean?
Yeah, that's the guy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I remember hearing Neil Patel talk about it in one of his posts, but I'm sure he was just parroting back what Brian had done.
Yeah, I think so. And I think they, you know, they kind of went back and forth on that when Brian initially kind of surfaced just how good it how good it is. And we did one of these a couple of years ago. It was like a 15,000 word blog post on everything you need to know about inbound marketing. This is when we were kind of all in on the HubSpot thing.
Yeah.
And that post is still on our site. It gets a ton of traffic. I mean, it's just like, it's a massive piece of content about inbound marketing. And I think it references like 130 different marketers. There's just links all over the place and it's really long. It needed a table of contents. It was massive. But that kind of content, I mean, it might take you a month to write, but then, you know, following up with every single one of those people and asking them to link back to it or tweet it out or, you know, share it on LinkedIn is an even bigger job than that.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to be sharing this, this episode with our marketing team. So if you're listening, hey everybody.
Exactly. And you better be.
Yeah. Cause we've got, Max, who I think you might've interacted with in helping get this set up. He's also, he's basically in addition to that, he's like an SDR on the marketing side. So he's got a quota for the number of backlinks he gets, every month. And he's been just crushing it.
Nice. Not hard to tell that you guys are a sales-based organization. You put quotas on everything.
Everything.
Awesome.
For sure. Yeah. That's a whole other podcast we can get into for sure.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I love the skyscraper blog post. Let's move to the exec roundtable. So
yeah. So I think this one is really interesting. And Tom goes into this in the book, in the How Clients Buy book, a fair bit about how they do it. But what we've used it for is to find a common, a group of related people who are at the same level in their career. So one of the things that's really important about this is you really don't want to have, if you've got like five or six people in this round table, everybody has to be the same degree of experience. You know, you can't have marketing interns interacting with VPs of marketing because they just don't have the same kind of level of experience. But you can have a really good roundtable with brand new marketing people who are like 2 years out of school and you know, in their first real job at a manufacturer. You can kind of bring those people together. The other way that we do that is we'll look for people who are new to their role. And, you know, so you can use LinkedIn for that and just say, you know, show me everyone that kind of is new to a role within the last 6 months at the director level, and then compile a list from that. And it's the same kind of thing. The outreach isn't quite as responsive as the podcast outreach. We're probably doing like 100 people to get five on the thing. It's still not bad.
I mean, conversion to meeting is strong.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. The biggest problem with the executive roundtable is that it's more time constrained. Everybody has to be available at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
and it's geographically constrained as well.
A little bit. Well, we do them virtually. So, we use Zoom or GoToMeeting. And the idea with that is to kind of bring everybody into the room, and then we have a series of, I think, four or five questions. It takes about an hour to an hour and a half to conduct one of these. So it's, you know, it's a bit of an ask of their time, which is another barrier, but it is possible. We've done three of these so far, I think, and really they're really interesting because they allow people to not only interact with us, but to interact with each other. And I think that's one of the things that's kind of interesting about an executive roundtable is that not only are they having an opportunity to kind of tell their story, they're learning from each other too, and you're connecting them to each other, which I think for us and you know, kind of our ethos as an agency and as a company, you know, where our whole kind of ethos is around people matter. You know, so we want to be able to connect people to each other who are like-minded and may be able to draw value from each other. And one of the coolest things is kind of seeing that not only do they enjoy the roundtable, but you see them then commenting on each other's LinkedIn posts later. They didn't even know each other before the roundtable. So we brought them together. And I think that ends up having value for them in addition to what they take away from the roundtable itself.
Wow. That's really powerful. I didn't realize you're doing it virtually.
Yeah. Yeah. So although we're now thinking that it would be really cool to do them in person, now that we have kind of these geographic centers of people we've had on the podcast or prospects we've talked to. So, you know, if we can, we could fly to Chicago for a day and simply invite 10 of them to dinner, you know, 10 of the people we've had on the podcast who are in that area, and then do the same kind of thing there in an even more relaxed environment than a round table. But again, it's all about those relationships, right?
Mm-hmm. And I can't get over like 5% conversion to meeting.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, in the podcast is like even higher, like you said. So I mean, you're getting 10-15% conversion. So
I had to double check my math, but I'm like 6 out of 30 is like 20%. That's amazing.
Yeah.
6 out of 40, 15%, give or take. Yeah. I mean, great numbers.
Yeah.
It's funny. We, you know, you do so much on the show, and so many of the conversations I've had have been about, well, how do you get, you know, how do you write better emails, and how do you, it's all sort of focusing in this direction. How do you get more out of your SDR team? It's this, it's that. Then we get Jeff on here and he's like, don't worry about sales. Just like book them on a podcast. And then 5% response rates or 15% conversion rate to meeting. Like, screw you, Jeff.
Hey man, I'm just mad that it took us, like, cripes, our Kula is 16 years old, and it took us until a year ago to figure this out. We've been talking about doing a podcast for 5 years, and we finally got off our ass and did it last August, so, or last July. So.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it. We talked about it for, I think like a month or two, and Aaron's like, yeah, let's do a podcast. And That's why if you see, you know, the graphic on our podcast, it's Aaron's picture, because he was the driving force. He wanted to do it. And then everybody knows he's got a big family. And so we kind of did it together because I thought it'd be kind of fun to sort of co-host. And then he's like, well, you know what? I don't actually have time for this. And it was fun. I enjoyed talking to the guests. And so I just kept it going.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for us, the big thing was figuring out how to do these live interviews, mm-hmm. you know, from a tech perspective, because I think before that, you know, when we were talking about doing a podcast, we're like, oh, it's just going to be us talking about the things we know about. And that's why we had such a hard time with it. And it never really got off the ground, because we're like, we're going to run out of ideas in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Or who's going to want to sit there and just listen to our silly banter, you know? So.
I totally agree. I feel like I've been in sales for a long time, but I didn't have enough content to just sit there and like fill half an hour.
So yeah.
Like, what better way to get guests on the show?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it, at the end of the day, from a purely selfish perspective, it's really all about us learning, you know, and us growing our network and learning from these people. So even if the end goal is to eventually turn this into a sales conversation, the altruistic goal is to know more than you knew before you started the conversation.
Absolutely. I want to move to the lightning round and get some questions out of you.
Yeah.
Before I do, I'm going to plug one show that helped me get this show off the ground. Did you ever listen to the Showrunner podcast?
Oh man, that sounds familiar. I know that I've read some of their content when I was looking to set up the podcast. So yeah, I've heard of it for sure.
It's the copy blogger guys.
Yeah.
I think part of, like, they were the Genesis team, and then they got bought by WP Engine.
Yeah, I think they were copy blogger, and then they became the big promoters of Genesis when that theme came out, and then they went all in on Genesis, and then I don't know what happened, but
I believe they just got bought, because we were using Genesis and WP Engine, and we had just migrated from Genesis to WP. We were doing both, and then we got the notification, we're like, oh, by the way, we're the same company, everybody's migrating over. Great. But cool. If anybody here is listening and going, well, you guys are 50 episodes deep, we're 100 episodes deep, like, how do you figure all this stuff out? The Showrunner, I listened to a ton of their podcasts about mm-hmm. how to start a podcast, and it made things so much easier, because I had 101 unanswered questions that I just couldn't figure out.
Yeah, I have a series of emails that I've put together from people who are like, why do I buy? Like, how do I record it? What software do I use? How do I edit it? So I just have like this email I send out anytime anybody asks me, like, how do I start a podcast? Like, here, take this.
Copy and paste.
Yeah, exactly. So I actually have it as a template in my HubSpot sales tool. It's that common.
That's awesome. I really should do that. I get it not super frequently, but I do get it every now and then. And I go into one email that I sent out to May, this person I met at a conference. I was going to say festival, but no, it was a conference.
Not the same thing.
And I just copy and paste that.
Yeah.
That's about the whole setup, the mic, the amp, and all that.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'll throw a link to the Showrunner FM. That's the name of the podcast in the show notes here. And nice. I'm going to get Jeff getting get some opinions on how to send emails. So talk to me about how do you get people to respond to your emails?
Well, I think that there's a couple of different things, and we've talked about a few of these things already. You know, make it about them. It's not about you, especially in the kind of outreach that we're doing. And even when you do more of a pure sales outreach, I don't ever want it to be about us. You know, there's a lot of times that we get through a sales conversation and our clients say, you know, you didn't even start with the big kind of description of who Kula is and who you work for and all of that, you know, like all you did was ask us questions about our business and learn from us. So I take kind of the same tack about, with our emails and our outreach. So make it about them, make them feel important because they are, you know, and, I really kind of continue to be amazed how much people think somebody who's doing a podcast is like the same thing as like a freaking Hollywood actor or something. Like it's really strange. Like, no, it's just a podcast. And so I'll use that to kind of build their ego up as well. Take a multi-pronged approach. You know, it's not just about sending the email. It's about then following up by a phone, leaving voicemail messages, trying to connect directly and all of that. You know, I don't know if you guys, there's kind of two schools of thought about whether or not you already sent them something previously or not, but I've tried both. I don't know that I have a definitive answer about which is better. And then really, you know, work your personality into it. You know, I'm a little bit folksy and so I try and, you know, use colloquialisms and kind of play up the fact that I'm from Canada because often we're prospecting into the US. And, you know, I just think that it's not going to work with everybody, but, you know, I'm not going to know until I try. So I usually try to kind of just be myself, you know, with the emails so that the experience from the email to the phone conversation to the discovery call to the podcast recording to the pivot is really just like, it's not like all of a sudden I changed from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde or whatever, you know. It's just me.
I'm picturing you going full red green mode.
we have used red green while doing talks at American conferences, absolutely, because I mean, if women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy, right?
Exactly. Yeah. For all the non-Canadian listeners or people that are like, what is red green? I'll throw a link to the
yeah, please do. I actually got the plaid shirt on and everything. Totally. You know,
you yeah. got it.
So yeah.
So Mr. Red Green, how do you handle the brush off on a cold call?
Well, I think it's there's a couple of different ways. I mean, some of them you're just not going to be able to get back because they're simply not interested. You know, like I don't have time. I don't want to do it. I'm not allowed or whatever. So, you know, if it's a podcast guesting request, then, you know, I'll find out if it's the kind of thing that, you know, do they have stage fright? Do they just not want to kind of talk to another person and have it recorded and posted? Like that's a real thing. I'll sometimes try and redirect, you know, is there someone else at the firm that might be more interested or more engaged in this idea? I'll ask if I can follow up later, you know, when it might be a better time. And you know, if that's going to work, it'll work. And maybe there are better ways to do it, but those have kind of allowed me to pivot that conversation sometimes and kind of get it into, get into the queue, but other times it's just there's nothing you can do. So the other thing that I'll also do at the end of that conversation is ask if I can follow up with an email with some information about the podcast and a link and ask them to have a listen and subscribe, because maybe, you know, if they had an opportunity to hear it, they might be more impressed than just kind of me asking about it. So at least that way I'm kind of in their inbox and
you get a reason connected. To follow up on that.
Yeah. Conversation. Yeah. Cool.
I like it. So what about last one? And then we'll move to my favorite segment. So
it's the one I'm dreading. I'm not going to lie.
It's make the guest sweat is my, yeah. and we used to surprise guests with it. I went a good period of time without telling people and be like, and now we get to the surprise segment and, you know, people took it in good fun. And then I realized I was like, my goal is to make the guest look good. The first thing you can do is like grind them for an hour of information and then make them like role play out of nowhere.
So. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. So last question, lightning round. What do you do when you need to push at the end of the quarter?
We actually use content for that as well. So one of the things that we'll do is if we've got deals in the pipeline that are at kind of either stalled or gone quiet or whatever, is we will actually, we have a whole bunch of different pieces of content that are tied a little bit more to kind of how you would work with Kula if we were already in an engagement or a relationship, a working relationship. So we will actually send an ebook. Like, I know we're not quite, you know, we haven't quite signed on the dotted line yet, but you know, I wanted to send this document through to you so you'd have a sense of what it's like to actually work with Kula. And so we have this whole guide to how things work if you become a Kula client. We have other pieces of content that we'll also follow up with other people with, like, you know, we'll go through the list of the prospects we're working and we'll say, okay, well, we had a podcast episode, you know, 8 months ago that was about the same kind of thing that you're talking about, or that you said you were interested in. You know, have a listen to this, you might enjoy it. And I find that there's a real power. One of the biggest benefits of doing any kind of content marketing, whether it's podcasting or blogging or anything like that, is showing somebody that you just met that you've been thinking about their problem for a decade. So if I can go back to somebody that I've just had a conversation with and I can say, you know, oh yeah, in 2010, I wrote a blog post about how organic search can be helped via paid channels. I know we were talking about that on the phone a couple of minutes ago, but you know, I thought maybe you'd be interested in this. And they go and look and like, holy crap, this person's been thinking about this for a decade and I only just learned it was an issue.
No, I just played with the WordPress timestamp.
Yeah, exactly. That's a little more nefarious, but it still would work. But yeah, so we'll use content to kind of fuel outreach and just kind of further provide some insight into our thinking. It sometimes it works to kind of push things forward, and other times it doesn't. But it's still better than hey, can I get an update on that deal?
Yeah, that's fair. It's a much more like you said, content driven approach.
Exactly.
Right on, Mr. Red Green, Mr. Jeff White. Ready for the cold call?
Let's try it.
All right. Ring, ring. Oh, before I do, who am I and what am I wearing?
What are you? Well, as far as I can tell, it's a blue shirt. I don't know what's on it, but yeah. So how do you want to do this? So I'm calling you or you're calling me?
Yeah. You're calling me. And then what's the target company? What's my persona?
Sure. So if I was cold calling someone to kind of get them on a podcast, I would, be calling a director of marketing at a sensor manufacturer in the Midwest. And, you know, they're probably 15, 20 years into their job and, you know, have a team of 5 to 10 people. So that's kind of who we would usually call.
Perfect. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Ring, ring. Hey, this is Colin.
Hey, Colin, it's Jeff calling from, I'm the co-host of a manufacturing marketing podcast, The Kula Ring, and I'm going to be in Chicago next week, and I'm just wondering if you might be available for a half hour to sit down and talk to me about the challenges that you're facing in marketing and sales, with an eye to having you on our podcast in a couple of months.
I've never heard of Kula.
Yeah, no, and we're a manufacturing marketing agency located in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, and we focus on mid-market manufacturers like yourself and like to meet with marketing VPs like yourself and get to know them and kind of find out what your challenges and successes are so that we can share that with our audience of other manufacturing marketers who are similar to you.
That's pretty cool, man. I like you just kind of, it was the steamroll. It was like, but it wasn't a pure cold call, or I shouldn't say not pure cold call. It wasn't like a cold call, like an SDR doing a cold call. It was, hey, I'm the host of this show.
So yeah.
Yeah. Really interesting.
Yeah. It's a bit of a different tack for sure.
Cool, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. If people are like, Jeff, this is amazing, I want to do the same, or they're at a manufacturer in the Midwest that make sensors and they happen to be a director of marketing, what's the best way they can get in touch with you?
Coolapartners.com. And I am at BrightWhite on Twitter.
Right on. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Appreciate it very much, Colin. Thank you.
You're welcome.